I mean, you have, it's something to look into. I mean, yeah, okay. So the main distinction from yesterday is the difference between the Isser Chashad, prohibition of Chashad, and then there's Chashad vis-a-vis doing mitzvahs. Okay? And I think that there's, the main difference is that, like, an Isser means, like, I'm just going around doing my regular daily activity. Okay? I'm doing whatever it is I want to do. Collecting money, whatever, walking past the shul, whatever. Now, you want to tell me, like, if you want to engage me in the halachic system and say that I'm doing a no-no, you know, I'm doing something wrong, you have to show that there's something wrong. The fact that someone may construe my action as being not so right, there may be some guys out there who would see that, and that may affect the nation, the national mission, or whatever. I mean, doesn't create an isser. Because an isser is based on something. If you say I'm doing something which stinks, and it really looks like that's what's happening, so that's, you say what I'm doing, even though I'm just minding my own merry business, but I'm doing something which undermines the mission of Klal Yisrael. It's a kind of, you have to give it the quality, to prohibit something, you have to give it a quality of wrong, of evil. And to say a maybe isn't going to, you know, when B'nai Gad and Reuven said, listen, we don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, that's basically an action of undermining Klal Yisrael. So you can't do an action of undermining Klal Yisrael. But if you just are doing a regular action of, yeah, whatever, anything. So if you're just doing an action of walking down the street, and someone may interpret it in a wrong way, so you say, okay, fine, so someone may. And maybe that will, minimize the function of Klal Yisrael. Maybe certain people, whatever. But that's not going to make an issur. An issur has to be, in order to engage the halachic system, you have to positively tell me that I'm involved in destroying the system. Okay, I'm just doing a normal activity. Okay. So that's why if you're walking past a shul and there's another doorway, so there's two interpretations. So I don't have to. You can't prohibit me from walking because someone may interpret it. Look, interpret it the other way. But now there's a different thing. Is now I'm doing a mitzvah, so I am engaging the halachic system because I'm trying to do a mitzvah. And the idea of mitzvahs is you're trying to promote certain ideas about God or whatever it is. You're involved in mitzvahs. Mitzvahs sort of have an objective, and the objective is realized on a national level. So now the question is could I do a mitzvah in a way which is not going to look like I'm doing the mitzvah? Which is going to look like the mitzvah isn't being done. So you'll say no, because
why wouldn't that automatically be answered? Because no, that would be a
shot. No, that's, well, not, because
why wouldn't that be, that's my question, why wouldn't that be?
Because if there are two ways to interpret it, it's not the Isser of Chashad. We just discussed that, right?
Oh, I see.
The two ways to interpret it. Yeah, here you are trying to teach the world about God or whatever, you know? So say, well, I'm doing it in a way that only half the people are going to think that I'm doing it and half the people are going to think I'm not doing it. So they'll say, but then you're not doing the mitzvah. The whole idea is you're trying to engage. You're trying to go out and do mitzvahs and teach people about God. You're trying to do a mitzvah. You're involved in this national institution of somehow. So even though only some people will interpret it that way and other people won't, so it won't be a prohibition that you're undermining the Torah. But here, it's not a question, are you undermining the Torah? The question is, are you doing what the Torah is trying to do? Are you involved in the mission of what the Torah is doing? So once I, so as long as, so then, as even if some people are gonna say that you're not doing it right, then you're not doing the mitzvah properly. And when the Torah sets up mitzvahs, it takes that into account that you have to do mitzvahs in a way which is gonna be not only fulfilling God's word, but is Nikiyam Hashem Umi Yisrael, which is gonna register in the eyes of Klal Yisrael as well. That's a factor in your SES mitzvahs. But an Isser is a different thing. A mitzvah is a different thing. There, you really have to, the burden of proof is on you to show me that I'm doing evil. But in mitzvahs, no, the burden of proof is on me to be involved in this proper activity, to be involved in the mission, the national mission, which is measured not just by the technical word vis-a-vis God, it's measured vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. But if, so this is saying is that when you're trying to do a mitzvah, so it says the mitzvah is formulated in a way that will, that is, the Torah formulates mitzvahs in a way that will accomplish the national goal of people seeing it. So that's the way the Torah formulates a mitzvah. So it says, how should you do peah? In the end of the field. How should you light candles? At two windows. But now you lit candles. You lit them at two windows, let's say. Now the candles go out. The wind blows them out. So look, I did the mitzvah. Now the question is, are you going to engage me, is there a new obligation to engage the system and to step up and to do another hadlaka. That, no, that is not true. Because insofar as I'm doing a mitzvah, how do I have to do the mitzvah? Yeah, how do I do the mitzvah?
It's not obligated.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's not telling me that I have to run around the world making sure all the Jews in the world think the best thing about the Jews. But insofar as I'm doing a mitzvah and I realize that is what the mitzvahs are, I have to do them with the Yisim HaKimesh and Mishal in mind. Which is that I'm involved in doing the mitzvahs on a level which will register via the technical objective halachic structure, will also register vis-a-vis people. It'll be observable. Okay, but it's the application. So that's what Gemara is asking. Not Tamra, how do you know this is true? I understand that Isra Chashad, because in Isra Chashad, you'll say Undermar destroys the system. So, but how do I know that when I do mitzvahs, I have to do them in a way which is promoting this national mission? That's a different idea. That's like a positive obligation within the mitzvahs. How do I know that mitzvahs that's an obligation?
Okay.
Now, like what I said yesterday, I don't know if you have to say it. I mean, you could. The one part is you could say it means it's like how mitzvahs are set up, but I'm not. I don't know if it's essential. I don't know if that's. You could even just say it's how I do mitzvahs. I mean, it happens to be it's in how mitzvahs are set up. But as it could be, it's a klal in how in the objective of a mitzvah. Like, let's say you'd create a case where you're doing a mitzvah, and you'd have to create a case where you're doing a mitzvah, it would look like you weren't doing a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Or something like that.
Okay.
So would you be chayef to do it in a way that was visible? I don't know. Let's say you're taking a lulav in a way, something. Create some case. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the way I was saying yesterday is like, this is how the Torah set up mitzvahs and how the Rabbanan set up mitzvahs. Right. But I mean, you could say, I don't know really the sources, but you could say it's a principle, the Torah, Peah is teaching a principle in Asiyas HaMitzvot, that when you do mitzvot, it has to be done in a way which is perceptible to your discretion. So it could be, even if you came around the case. I mean, yesterday I think I was focusing more on how they set up, but I think that the real distinction is in an Isser versus Isser where the halachic system has to engage you and will only engage you if it's clear that you're violating, implied that you're violating, as opposed to in a mitzvah where you are trying to invoke the system and now you have to do it in a way which is clear cut. The question now I'm saying is that the way they set up the mitzvahs, or is it even ready to boil down to your particular mitzvahs? I'm not sure about that. I don't know. It's a good question, which I didn't look into. What's the difference between this and Marasayan? Marasayan is also something in this ballpark, but I think I did one years ago, really long time ago. Like I did this sugya. I don't know if I did this sugya, but I looked into what's the difference between Marasayan and Chashad. And I remember at the time I thought there was a difference. I was thinking about something Amara said yesterday. Is I know like the phenomenon of chedre chadarim, like something Marasayan is like you can't do certain actions like which look like esar, like for instance like drinking milk, almond milk, to eat meat with almond milk. So almond milk is not really milk, but if it looks the same as milk, so they say you can't say not to do that, okay, because it gives off the appearance of esar. And they say that something like that, an action, that's what I think, Morris, what you were talking about yesterday, is like an action which is like, it's almost the exact same action as Isser, but it's Mutter. You know what I mean? It's like,
it's not exactly the case.
Chashad, it looks like you're a Rasha. It seems like in Chashad, it's like you're doing something that looks like you're a bad guy. But here, it's like you're doing the action which, from all vantage points, looks like Isser. It's indistinguishable from Isser, except that it's not really Isser. I mean, but the appearance of the thing, and that you're not allowed to even do in private. That's the field of chedre chadarim. It's even probably not allowed to do that. So, because you could see that, because that's like a maisa iser. Mm-hmm. I mean, but like, I don't know if like the gabbait staka is counting his money in private. I don't know if there's all these rules that he can't do it in private. Who cares if he does it in private? Don't do it in private whatever he wants. Because it's not a maisa iser. Chashad is he can't do an action which implies to people that you know. So if you're in private, it could be it's not. But in Marasayan, it could be it's like a tsuras maisa. It's like the action. I'm just throwing that out. I'm not sure about that, though. It's a sugya. You really have to research it. There's sugyas in Beitza. There's also sugya about it. I can't remember what all of it is. But it's a good question, and if anyone's interested in doing it, I think we're at a good point that would be worth it. But you have to do a little more research. It's not like there's... I don't think there's like a Gemara on Marasayan. I mean, I think there are a few. It's one of these things you have to do research a little bit.
Right.
Like Chashad. I mean, it's all over. You see in the Ram, it's all over the place. So Marasayan also, it's like an all over the place kind of thing. Comes up parenthetically in different places. Yeah. Oh, another point I realized I forgot to mention yesterday, but is like remember we came across like a certain chashad was only for a Talmid Chacham. Right? Like, you can't wear, like perfumed clothing because it looks like he's going to find a woman. You know, certainly living in chatzer with an almana, something like that. There are certain things that are only talmud chacham. So, question: what do you mean? Look on this. If it's suspicious, suspicious. Not suspicious, not suspicious. Look on the heck do you have the issur only for talmud chacham? So, what do you think about that? Right. You're right. Okay. So, I think they're saying good. It's like shad is you can't do that, which is implying you're a bad guy, right? You can't do those types of things. You're a ganav. You're a goslin. You know. There's other things which I may have to get to the particulars, but which don't imply that you're a bad guy, but they imply that you're a bad talmud chacham. I mean, like that's not like it is like it, since the whole idea is that the am is moved, the nation is moved by the other people. There's a collective community, and the other people work off of each other. And if people act in such a way, then other people are also, it's like contagious, and it's going to cause them to undermine, you know, people are going to look at the Torah as being less real or less, you know, less authoritative and serious. So then that's how, that's first of all how they look at people, but it's also how they look at the Talmid Chacham. If Talmid Chacham go around in a certain type of a way, which looks like they're involved in, you know, I guess wearing the perfumes and whatever, you know? Like, technically, does it really, like, look like necessarily something's bad? But, like, again, this you have to go into particulars, but the lines are different. Okay? Because the idea, the image of a Talmud Chacham is a different image than the Klal is the image of a regular person. And the Chacham has to be worried about that. Right? Don't they say, like, Talmud Chacham has a stain on his food on his shirt? It's a Chayiv Misa or something. They say it's a Chol Hasham. So you should have, you should look like clean. You know, because it's Talmud Chacham, so I'm supposed to. There's a whole paragraph about it in Deos. You know, it's like people look at him as the representative of the Torah, different. You know, and that impacts the way people look at Torah. So if the idea of chashad, if you're worried how people are going to suspect, there's different standards when it comes to different people. Chol Hashem, definitely. Chol Hashem. I think even the Sefer Mitzvah on the Chol Hashem. When I'm talking about Chol Hashem, he talks about the regular Chol Hashem and the Chol Hashem for Talmud Chacham. I mean, Chol Hashem is different, different standard. I think I heard Rabbi say one time, it's Tami Decham and Vitami Deham. I think he said, like, that's why, like, in Yeshiva, there's, like, an idea of, like, I mean, like, in certain, like, Masar situations, he was saying it's, like, maybe in terms of dress codes or, like, different ways, like, guys have to be aware. Like, when you're a Yeshiva guy, people judge Torah based upon your attitude and the way you act. And, you know, you say certain things are, you know, silly or whatever, but if you exhibit bad midos, you could, even though regular person, people could, you know, tolerate bad midos, but people use that as an attack on the Torah. And then, so far as you're a yeshiva bachar, you represent Torah. So that's why it's different, you know, you have different responsibility vis-a-vis that. So it could be, I mean, this halakha is by Talmud Chacham, but I'm saying, like, the area of, like, Chol Hashem, Chashad, the way people look at the Torah is, it does differ when, you know, it could differ. You see, like, that type of thing differs based on who you are. But it's interesting, in halakha, I still don't know if I would have said halachically in terms of chashad. It's recognized, but it is. I mean, you see, it's something to look into. I mean, I'm answering. This answer is opening up the door to really go into that. But I mean, you could say, yeah, but does it look like he's sleeping with someone? It does not look like he's sleeping. You know, I mean, I don't, whatever. You have to really go into the particular things to see. You know, but think with this idea, it does open up how you could explain those kinds of things. Oh, so now we have a question, right? Okay, so now we have a question. So we have a few questions. One question, the first question is Matt's question is, and I elaborated on it based on the Ran. But the question is, so according to what we're saying, if you didn't do Ner, if you only lit Ner Hanukkah in one window, in one door, not in the other door, in a way which lends itself to a chashad, to the passerby on one side suspecting that you only lit it at one side, so would you be yotzei mitzvah Ner Hanukkah? Would you fill the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah?
You just said now, definitely.
Okay, so hold on a second. And then also, so you could have argued, the way, especially the way you were saying yesterday, they say that they set up, this is how they set up the mitzvah. They set up the mitzvah in a way that, that includes the chashad, the taking of the mitzvah, so therefore that's what Matt was saying, is maybe you wouldn't be yotzei. You wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah. And then I said the problem is that the Ran says that you don't make a bracha on the second candle, presumably even if there's a break, because the second one is only for chashad. But the question is, but aren't we say, if we say that really you're not yotzei the mitzvah, doesn't it mean this is the way they set up the mitzvah and it really is part of the mitzvah? So how could you say that you don't make a bracha on a chashad? Isn't chashad the reason, but it's part of the very setup of the mitzvah, that it's in Hanukkah? Okay, yeah. So the guys are all saying good. That, There's subtle differences here, but they make a difference. But basically, that you have the mitzvah. So I think like this: the Ner Chanukah. So you have this principle of Yisem Nikiyam Hashem Yisrael, okay, which means that you should be clean in the eyes of God and the eyes of Klal Yisrael, and that's that applies firstly to Isser, that you can't do an Isser. Not only can't you do an Isser in God's eyes, you can't do an Isser in the Klal Yisrael's eyes. Okay, whatever kinds of Isurim, right? So you can't. Not only can't you steal in God's eyes, you can't steal in man's eyes. So that's why the Gabbai Tzedakah can't right do all that stuff. So now the Gemara says that in the realm of mitzvah also you have Yisur Nekim Hashem Yisrael. Again, you have Chashad applies to mitzvahs. Now, Chashad is Yisur Nekim Hashem Yisrael. And that means that in doing the mitzvahs, in Asiyas HaMitzvahs, there is the mitzvahs on the level of Me Hashem and Me Yisrael, which means that you have to do Ner Chanukah in a way which satisfies the Me Hashem, which means the intrinsic conceptual structure of Ner Chanukah, which is one candle per house. And also on the level of Mi'Yisrael, you have to do Ner Chanukah in a way which satisfies the Mi'Yisrael, which means that that it's apparent to Klal Yisrael that you're lighting the candles. In which case, demands that you're going to have to light the second window. Okay, so it's saying is like in the Chiyuv HaMitzvah, when the Chiyuv HaMitzvah sets itself up, so you're obligated to do the mitzvah on both levels. Okay, the mitzvah, your obligation of mitzvahs takes on both levels. So when you have to light Ner Chanukah, you have to consider it, but you have to do it on both realms, on both levels. Your hadlaka, your mitzvah hadlaka has to take into account both realms. So that's why you have to do both of them. Now, you'll say, now, well, on which realm does the bracha go? So the realm of the bracha is bracha to Hashem, alakim ha-sheke, the shonam asosu v'tzivanu, is Me Hashem. Because it's shevach ha-Hashem that He gave us these mitzvahs. So the chashad is not really the intrinsic Kedusha of the mitzvah, of like Baruch Ta Hashem, you know, it was a Kedushana mitzvah. So the Yisrael is like, it's a secondary idea because of the system functions through Klal Yisrael. But the Ran is saying, is Mastamber, that you don't, that's not going to have bracha. The bracha is going to be on the Me'Hashem aspect of the mitzvah. So it's like Mitzvah Ner Chanukah and Mitzvah Peah, for instance, take into account both of those, both frameworks, and they obligate you in both, and you're chayav to do both. And if you don't do both, yeah, I don't know if you'd say that you didn't do anything. You did the Me Hashem, but you didn't do the Me Yisrael. So you certainly haven't fulfilled the mitzvah Ner Chanukah fully, but you lack one component. But the component which needs the bracha is the bracha of is the component of the Me Hashem part, not the chashad part. So that's what they're saying, is that since it's only because of chashada, but it still is the way that your obligation in mitzvah Ner Chanukah is to do both of them. Now, if you did both of them, or you did mitzvah Ner Chanukah, and then afterwards something happens, then then the question is chashad a separate mechayev? Then no, chashad isn't. It's not a separate mechayev you to do actions, but it's mechayev. It sets up the form of the way in which your mitzvah takes place. When you chayev do mitzvahs, you chayev to do it under both frameworks. Well, this is the question. I mean, here's an interesting question. It's like the question about the bracha. So let's say there's these two frameworks, right? So now the question is, what do you say the bracha on? So for instance, because the bracha you're saying is, Baruch Atah Hashem, you're recognizing God, Hashem, who sanctified us through the mitzvos and commanded us on blank. Okay? So now, for instance, you could even ask, do you say it on in the Rabbanon? Because God didn't command us on blank. Rabbanon did. But the Gemara says, you do. Because God told us to listen to the Chachamim. It says, Losasa, you can't turn away from the Chachamim. So since that's the case, so God sanctified His mitzvahs and commanded us to do Ner Chanukah indirectly. He commanded us to listen to the Chacham, and the Chacham told us to do Ner Chanukah. So therefore, that's sufficiently involved, included in Shagalina Vitzivanu. Right? It's like that's the kedusha of the mitzvahs. It includes the mitzvahs Darbanon as well as part of the system of the mitzvahs. But now the question is, and this is, I think, what the Ran is saying, Mistabra. It sounds like he's not 100% convinced. You could argue the point. But he's saying, Mistabra, that, see, there's like the intrinsic perfection of the mitzvos. That's what the bracha's on, Kedushanu. It's like a Kedusha, which is like a perfection of the mitzvos that we have. And now, that perfection of Ner Chanukah really comes from lighting the first candle. Because that's really the idea, is you're being farsi in the miracle. And the second one, you're not really, you're even farsi, you've even publicized it. But then there's another idea, is that the mitzvos take place through the klal, and therefore you have to worry about the national, the way it's viewed vis-a-vis the klal. So like the mitzvah itself really is intrinsically, the intrinsic mitzvah, the Me'ashem, so far as in God's eyes, the Kedusha of the mitzvah is really just so you did the first candle. But the thing is, since there's a Yisrael, and of course that's God because of God, it's not like Kal Yisrael, it's not, but secondarily, because of that, there has to be a nation, and the nation has to view it in a certain way, so that obligates me to light that second candle, you know? But the thing is, he's arguing that that's, it's something, so to speak, it's almost like I can't not light that second candle. But that's not really the intrinsic perfection of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the Me'ashem. The mitzvah is on the Shekhet Shem Tzosav, you show that God sanctified us to the mitzvah. The real perfection of the mitzvah is the one candle. But it's like, I can't not do that other second one, because then that would like undermine the klal. The klal would look at it wrong and it would have negative consequences. So it's like, I have to worry. But that's what he's saying is mistabra, that type, that's not mechayev in a bracha. That aspect of a mitzvah, although it is part of the mitzvah, mistabra that the bracha isn't on that. The shevach l'Hashem is not on that. Because that's not the intrinsic benefit, the intrinsic kedusha of the mitzvah. So it's just, it's like, it's necessary for me to do it, but that doesn't mean I'm going to say bracha on it.
But if you could come up for...
Okay, so it seems so. It seems like you see from the Ra'an. So we're wondering, we're saying is, let's say you only lit one candle, and then you realize afterwards, whatever point afterwards, 10 minutes after, that you forgot. You didn't light the other one. So would you be obligated to light the other one again? So, you know, you could say, yes, no, so but you think it's a Raya from the Ra'an. Because the Ra'an is saying that you don't have to make a new bracha. You don't make a bracha on the second one because of Hashad. Because it's only because of chashad. So the question is, what's the case? If there's no hefsek, if you're just lighting it simultaneous, one after the other, contiguous, you never make a new bracha like that. Because one bracha goes on both. Right? Like you light eight candles for the eighth night. You don't light eight brachas, it's just one lighting. So it's right on the other side of the house. It's not, you say that walking across the house is going to be hefsek. So it's, anyways, it's not hefsek. So it must be the Ron's case is talking about where there is a hefsek. And even though there's a hefsek, the Ron is saying, you know, don't make a bracha. But he's implying that you have to light it. You have to light it. So even though there's a hafsik, the Ron's saying you still have to light it. So now what's the difference if it's 10 minutes? I mean, whatever the case is, the Ron's talking about whatever would constitute a hafsik. If you want to say walking across the room is a hafsik, then it's still. So whatever. It's not according to you. You know, so you see. So what's the idea? So I think the idea is good. It's because the mitzvah's Ner Chanukah obligates you to light two candles. You know, when you're tonight's Ner Chanukah, and the question is, what do I have to do? And you ask the rabbi, what do I have to do? So he'll say, you have to light a candle here, and you have to light a candle here. You have two obligations. Now you only lit one. So you only did half your obligation. It's true, half of it is because of chashad, but so what? But you're obligated to do two things, you only did one. So you still have to do the other one. You still have to do the other one. Even if the first one went out, whatever. I mean, still, some of those, I mean, it is. Still, you have to do the other one. Now, the kazah zakukla is where you did your mitzvah totally. You know, because you did the mitzvah totally, you were yotzei the mitzvah, you did everything exactly as the halacha says, and then something else happens. But here, your mitzvah was to do two things, you only did one of them. So you didn't do the mitzvah totally, you only did half your mitzvah. So well, who cares that there's a break? You still did something to the other half. What it does remind me of is that you have the question of, and this is interesting, before I get to that, does everyone follow? I think it makes sense. But it's related to is the grizz. Is like, let's say you only had, so we light, let's say, eight candles. Or whatever, let's say eight candles. Eighth night, you light eight candles, right? So because of Hidor. It's a Mahajim and whatever. Mahajim and Mahajim, you're showing how many nights there are, whatever. So let's say you only lit one candle, you only had one candle, and then someone comes home and brings you home seven more. Do you relight them? You lit one, and then and that's it, and now someone brings you seven more candles. So do you relight them? Okay? So the Grizz basically, he doesn't take that case exactly, but the Grizz's point is from the Rambam, he says that Hidur is always like a component of the mitzvah. If you do the mitzvah in a manner, in a muhudar manner, in an enhanced manner. How do you do the mitzvah? You do it beautifully. You do it nicely. You do it in an enhanced way. It's not a separate thing, right? It's not like you do the mitzvah and then, also you do Hidur. So it is the manner in which you do the mitzvah. So the manner in which you light is you light eight candles. So if you already lit, you already did the mitzvah, and you fulfilled the mitzvah. So you don't go back and do an action of Hidur. You know, that's why the Grizz holds, the Grizz learns in the Rambam, that when you have a household, you know, with all the candles, so he says that the Baal HaBayis should light all the, I don't know if he holds this is Ma'akev, but he says the way the Rambam has it, he says the Baal HaBayis lights enough candles. Let's say 10 people in the house and 8 people. He says the Baal HaBayis lights 80 candles. He doesn't have everyone lights their own menorah. Because the idea is that Hidur is part of the mitzvah, the Baal Bayis is doing the mitzvah. So therefore, he has to do 80 candles. He does it. You know, it's a component of the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's a component of the asiyah, the hidur. So in that, see, that's because hidur is the way in which you do the action. So it's a component of the maisa. So therefore, you don't go back for it. You can't go back for it if you miss it, it's too late. But chashad isn't a component of the maisa. It's not like the maisa is that you light. It's a component of the chiyav. The chiyav, the obligation, is to light at both doors. It's a double obligation. But it's two different maisim. It's a light at this window and lighting at that window. It's not like one action of lighting 80 candles.
It would terminate the chiyav the way the hinder would terminate the maisa.
Yeah, right. So the chiyav runs out, but there's no practice. Yeah, there's no case like that.
There's nothing like that. It's after
Zman. Fine, after Zman. Right, fine. After Zman. Yeah, but what do you do anyways? Zman's over. You can't do it. So anyways. I mean, so, but the idea is, but that's so the thing is that the chiyav, it obligates you in two things. So you have two obligations, so you have to light them both. So now if you only did one, fine, so you still have to do the other one. But you wouldn't make a bracha on that. That's what I'm saying, is you wouldn't make a bracha on it, because that lighting, you already did the primary mitzvah in Chanukah, and now you're just doing it in Yisrael, doing the mitzvah insofar as Tashad, but that's not, there's no bracha on that. No bracha on that one. Okay. So now we'll turn, now we have the next question, right? The next thing is, who are you worried about in Chashad? Are you worried about only people in your city or even people from the other city? Okay, so what's the case? The case is if you have a house which has two doors on the same side. Let's say two front doors. And anyone in the city knows that there's only one house. They're just that crazy two front door house. Okay? Built with two front doors. Okay, they thought two people were going to live, whatever. Everyone knows that it's only one person. Everyone in the city knows only one person. So anyone in the city who walks by and sees a candle at one door will say, oh, they did the mitzvah. Okay? But if someone from another city walks by, so they may suspect, oh, what's going on? Two doors? Maybe this is a house that's split. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe it's split. And there's somebody there who didn't light their Hanukkah. So do you have to worry about that? So Gemara is considering whether you have to worry chashad. You have to worry about chashad of someone from another city or only someone in your city. So the question is, what's the difference? Why shouldn't you? Or what's the difference? So who cares what city they're from? I mean, there are people from other cities. It does happen. Not everyone in your city lives in your city. There's such a thing as travelers. So the Meiri says because someone from another city will be tola et. He will assume that it's because of his lack of knowledge. Okay, he'll assume he sees only a one door. So even if he suspects the guy only there's only the, you know split, he'll say, "Oh well, I don't really know."
Why should
he
go that way?
Yeah, why should he go that way? Look, it could be it's split. It could be it's not split. So he'll say, "Look, I don't know." So look, it'll be choshed. Fine, maybe not. But our question is, well, why? Even if then, let's say the case where it's on two different directions, and it's a guy who lives in the city. So why doesn't he only walks by one side? So why do I say the same thing? That if he sees only one side, he should attribute it to his lack of knowledge. Because he only saw one side. So who cares though? So what's the difference? He only saw one side of the house. So why doesn't he attribute it to his lack of knowledge? He would have seen the other side, probably the other one's lit. Right? And what's the difference? Right? And it's the same exact thing. If you tell me that in a chashad, you have to even worry about a guy who's going to jump to a conclusion, then it should be by both. Who really cares? Okay, good. So some of the guys are saying that basically there's a psychological difference, which is that they're saying is like an outsider. A guy who's an outsider. He doesn't live in the city. So look, he may have doubts. He says, "Oh, what's going on here? Is this someone's not lighting candles? What's happening?" That's true. There is chashad. He may wonder that. But he knows, bottom line is, he knows he's an outsider and he doesn't know what's going on. You know what I mean? But then there's a guy who's in town. He's the man. So that guy, doesn't think like that. He doesn't say, "I don't know what's going on." And what he does is, and I think maybe this is what it's saying, is that the chashad isn't just a guy who has doubts. That you have to do mitzvah that's avoid from people raising doubts. But there's an idea of accusations. Because you can't do a mitzvah in a way that will involve accusations. someone in the town is going to accuse you of not, he knows who, he knows the house, he knows you, he's there, he's a person who lives here, and he's going to be involved, he's going to accuse you of not doing the mitzvah. Someone from out of town doesn't, like, an accusation, you have to have a certain level of comfort, a certain knowledge of the situation. And it, look, bottom line is you don't know, because you don't need to take another side. But you have to have, like, a certain psychology and a confidence to be involved in making an accusation. Someone of another ear doesn't make accusations. He raises doubts, or he does raise doubts. But the Meir is learning is that the Gemara is teaching you, is the Gemara is wondering about, is saying is that chashad isn't that you have to do mitzvahs that are removed from doubts. But it has to be, you can't do mitzvahs in a way which involves accusations that you're not doing it. And an accusation is only where you have someone who's, you need a gavra to make an accusation. If you're the new guy who comes to a place, you don't start making accusations. You start wondering, but it's different psychology. And the psychology which is really going to undermine the Torah is the guy who's making accusations. Like, he really takes a shita. That this guy takes a position. You're not doing the mitzvah. Guy from another town doesn't do that. He wonders. He does question it. Because that's the question is, if someone out of town, if he really says, I don't know, so then why is it chashad? And why the Gemara calls it chashad of people from out of town? But it's a different type of chashad. It means they raise doubts. There's like, whoa, I wonder what's going on here. That's not what chashad is. Chashad isn't doubts. Chashad isn't that you can't have their doubts. Funny as doubts. But he'll say at the end of the day, he'll walk away saying, oh, I don't know. But then there's an idea of making a guy accusing you of not doing a mitzvah, of coming to a position like that. That's what you have to worry about. Right? Okay. I was thinking of a different shot. Before I saw the Miri, I saw the Miri afterwards, but I was thinking of a different shot. It was based on something Fishbein noticed, which is that you have to, it's a clever thing to realize, is that, and there's one thing, one weakness, I think, in this Svara, in the Miri, is like, it's kind of based on a psychological, assumption, assessment, which you could argue with. You could argue with, and it's like, what's the psychology of chashad that you're worried about? And there's something like a little unhalachic about it. But, I'm not saying it's okay, it's nothing wrong. I'm just saying it's something a little bit, there's room for another possibility. And that is like, look at the Rashi, for instance, and you have to realize this, but he says, what's the chashad? Okay, he says, Shero Yesavar, because the Roa is going to think, the onlooker is going to think, Shabbai is Cholok, right, the house is split, Vaharu Shal Shnei Bnei Adam, and then it's of two people, Vyomru, Ha'echad, Einu Mekayim Mitzvah, and I'll say, the one of them isn't doing Mekayim Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. So now, who exactly is he suspecting? Okay, who is he suspecting?
The other house.
Which guy? What's his name? No, that's not his name. He doesn't have a name. Why doesn't he have a name? Not only that, he doesn't exist. He's suspecting the ghost man. He's suspecting a non-existent guy. Right? He's saying, he's positing a person, and he's saying, is that guy doesn't do mitzvahs? What guy? I'm lighting the candles. I'm lighting the candles at my house, and I'm doing them perfectly. Now, by me lighting candles, I'm going to cause them to suspect some unknown, non-existent guy.
Right.
Now, is that, I have to do the mitzvahs in a way that is removed from chashad. But chashad of who? I know so much as that he's a non-existent guy, but it's not me. You say is that, is it pshat? Look, chashad is a phenomenon in the klal. Okay, it's a national phenomenon. Is it a halacha that I can't do my mitzvah in a way that will lead to chashad in klal Yisrael? That will lead to people suspecting members of Kal Yisrael, or it means I am in my doing of mitzvahs. I must do mitzvahs in a way that people will know I'm doing the mitzvahs. But if people know I'm doing the mitzvahs, but they'll think something else. That's not my responsibility. In other words, chashad is part of my obligation in mitzvah that I must do the mitzvah in a way that is May Hashem and Yisrael. People that God knows I'm doing the mitzvah, and people know I'm doing the mitzvah. Or do you argue in the Havmina? It's not crazy Havmina, but Havmina is that when you do that, you must do the mitzvos. That the idea is chashad is the premise of the Torah, and you can't do a mitzvah in a way which involves chashad. Who cares about chashad of me, chashad of other people? It's a chashad. If chashad is present in my mitzvah, I can't do it. I have to do a mitzvah in a way that works towards the national goal. So I was pushing someone else. That's also part of my responsibility. But that's what it's teaching you, is that no, that's not true. You're not obligated in the. You're obligated in the chashad. The chashad that you're obligated in is in you. You must do the mitzvahs in a way that's clear that you're doing the mitzvah. And another city guy, you don't have that chashad. Yeah, right, exactly, right, right. You're right. If you learn it, it's good to show. You said, if you learn it's a machlokas between Rahuna and Rava, then that would be Rahuna would hold. Rahuna holds that, look, chashad is a universal thing. You're worried you do mitzvahs in a way that you're worried about chashad. Who cares if it's this year or not here? It doesn't matter. But if it's an idea you must do chashad in a way that you are viewed as doing the mitzvah, so then who cares if it's, so then it's only, anyway, then it's only one of the people from the same city. I'd say the weakness about this svara, which is in favor of the Meiri, although this is a good halachic like svara, and it fits into the sugya the way we're defining it now, the one weakness is that, which I think is better about the Meiri, is like the Gemara calls it chashad of people from another city or chashad of people in your city. See, according to the Meiri, that's good, because there's the chashad of an outsider, the psychology of an outsider, and then there's the chashad of an insider. But that's good that it's called that way. But according to this way, this svara, it's the chashad, it's accidental. I mean, the fact that he's from a different city is just the practicality, which will mean that his chashad, he's not going to suspect you, but he's just going to suspect somebody else. The real idea is because he doesn't know, you know, because it's you, and he's thinking the house is split in some other guy. It's not really a factor of a function of the of the, what city he lives in or not. The what city he lives in is just the practical way to bring about the different types of chashad. You know what I mean? So the Meiri, I think, is more true to the Lashon of the Gemara. Is, are you worried about chashad of another city, or are you only worried about your city? You know what I mean? So, but you know, it's not a, you know. Yeah, that was good. That was a good pick of a fish line.